are strong and courageous part of your life? In the Bible, God encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous when he is called to lead like he had never led before. Do you have "I have never done this before" moments? In this series, we will look at how to navigate new and different from the life of Joshua, a life filled with a lot we can learn from, draw from, and find courage in. We hope you enjoy.
Good morning, church. Good to see you, and welcome on this wonderful smoky morning. And just be grateful you're in here. We just had a lawn service, and I can't believe the amount of people that were out there and endured that smoke. But I went from the smoking section to the non-smoking section. This is a reference to those of you that remember going into restaurants. Well, first of all, you remember the days when you used to go into restaurants? Yeah. But back in the day, it was, do you want to sit in the smoking section or the non-smoking section, right? I'm just telling a little bit about my age here. And I always thought as a kid, isn't it interesting? Mom, Dad, like, does that smoke exactly stop at that table right there, you know? But nonetheless, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And that video introduced our new series, Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. We're going to look at probably about the first 7 chapters over this series in the book of Joshua, and we'll take a chapter a week. But before we get into that, I want to paint a picture for you. Some of you may have actually been to the place that I'm going to talk about, and some you're just going to have to really expand the imagination. So a few weeks ago, my wife and I went to a pastors and wives conference that was supposed to be held last year, but something happened that kind of ruined that. And so, you know, the Solomon Foundation, our relationship with them, so they host this. And we had to suffer because the location was on an island. I think they call it Hawaii. It was a big island, Kona, right? And so, you got to do what you got to do for the Lord, right? So we're there, and it was a great conference, and I hope to share with you some of the things that happened as we met with about 150 pastors across the nation and their wives. But then we took advantage of this, and so we extended our stay and went over to Maui for some time for Lisa and I, and so we're over in Maui. And we've been to that island a few times, and so we've done a few things, but we got to go to this place, and I want to make sure I say it right, Honolulu Bay. Has anyone ever been to Honolulu Bay? All right. Oh, look at it. All right. We got some witnesses out there. So we stay in like Kanapali, so it's about a 20, 25-minute drive. There's no signage or anything for this place. I was just told to go, and you'll figure it out. Kind of thing. And you look at mile markers and stuff. And so, but you do, you figure it out because all of a sudden there's not a parking lot. There's not a big sign that says welcome to. You just start seeing these random cars parked along the side of the road. And so, you know, you're obviously somewhere close. So you have to struggle to find a spot. When you find a spot, you're supposed to just start making your way into what I'm going to call this tropical forest. So this is where I want you to picture a tropical forest, big, beautiful, vegetation, trees, flowers. There are a few signs, but they're handwritten. And they say, watch out for falling coconuts. All right? So, and I suggest the same in this church service. On the coconut tree. I'm a nut. Anyways, that's a whole nother topic. So you picture all of this, and it just smells good. And you got these just beautiful setting. And then finally, after about 10, 15 minutes, you actually enter to where the bay is. And you're like, it's amazing. Like, I can't even paint a picture for you well enough, but you're standing there and you're looking at this bay with 4-5 different colors of blues and greens, depending on the depth of the ocean in those spots, right? And then it's there's no sand. All you see is boulders and small rocks everywhere. And you see probably a few, what are those boats? Not the yachts, but catamarans. Thank you very much, catamarans. Because it's a place where they like to do the touristy thing and bring people in to snorkel, right? So I'm just sitting there looking at all this. And then off to the right, you see an area where there's actually a few waves and maybe a surfer or two. Unbelievable. The sun was just in the right spot, the clouds. I want you to hold that scene in your minds. And if this forgetful pastor doesn't forget, we'll get back there. at the end of the sermon. Otherwise, someone just yell it out at the end of the sermon, then we'll go. We are going to look at a series at a man by the name of Joshua. And he, I think, is going to teach you and I a whole lot. Let's pray. Father, thank you. It is good to be in your house. It's good to see the smiling faces and even the few frowning ones. God, it's good to see the purple chairs filled with people. It's good to have air conditioning. It's good to be alive. God, thank you for the worship team and the songs that they led us in to remind us of how awesome you are and how worthy you are to be praised. For those sitting in here and those listening online, God, we are praying for your Holy Spirit to connect with our hearts and minds and take us to a place that only you could take us. God, I am a sinner saved by grace. We are sinners saved by grace. We deserve nothing, but you've given us everything. And for that, we say thank you. Lead us in this service. Lead us in this time of teaching. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So here's what, I'm just going to shoot straight with you. I have probably about an hour and 15 minute sermon ready for you, and I'm going to try and pull it off in an hour and 10 minutes. Change your lunch reservations. But we'll try and accomplish this in about a half hour. But here's the deal. Just get ready. Because I think it's really important because I feel like I need to lay the foundation for the entire series for myself and Pastor Sean as we teach over the next 6 and 7 weeks on this topic. And so bear with me because really the background of this message has everything to do with the background of the last message on attitude adjustment. Do you remember that series? And just for accountability, does anyone need an attitude adjustment here today? No elbowing the person next to you, please. And don't start texting. I saw that, by the way. All right. So the reality is, because we're talking about the Old Testament, they all kind of shoot from the same place. And I'm going to go way, way back. We're not going to go back to the garden in the very first chapter, in the very first book. But I will go back to a guy by the name of Abram, which we know as who? Abraham. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 12. Again, laying the foundation, giving the background for our entire series on Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. Hold on your purple seats and let's go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says this. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household. And let's say this together. To the land I will show you. To the what? To the land I will show you. To the what? To the land I will show you. Now, this is really important for us. Out of nowhere, Abram doesn't even have a relationship with God. Out of nowhere, God speaks to Abram, and he gives this promise. In verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed, what? Through you. I mean, this is a big deal. And we can talk about this for many, many weeks and months, but we're going to fast forward because then we focus in on this part of this land. And this is what we call the promised land. Can you say promised land? Promised land. And this land is flowing with what? You've read the book, have you? You've read the book, have you? Milk and honey. Some of you love that for your tea. But here's the reality. This is going to be a place that I'm going to hook you up with, and the place is called Canaan. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the promised land. And now we're going to have to fast forward, okay? We're going to run through scripture and fast forward to now God's people, the Israelites, the Jews, God's chosen people now find themselves in a sticky situation, actually a very painful situation. They're under the heavy hand of a government that has enslaved them. And they're being mistreated and just life really, I'm just going to say it sucks for them. It just sucks for them, filled with all kinds of pain. And then God speaks to this guy by the name of Moses. And Moses is a whole nother story, right? He was left for dead in a basket floating down a river, right? And then God does this redemptive story and puts them in the right place at the right time. And then he goes to Moses and he says, Moses, I am going to use you. I'm going to use you to take my people out from underneath that evil, and you're going to be set free, and we're headed towards the promised land that I told Abraham about. Are you tracking with me? And Moses is like, yes, let's do this. No, Moses is like, And now I'm not making fun because he says, I stutter. You pick somebody else. And Moses had a list of excuses, just like you and I do, by the way, when God calls us to do something. When God calls us to be filled with strength and courage and push aside the fear. Well, that's a whole nother story. And Moses finally submits to God and he trusts God and he obeys God. And all of a sudden, this amazing thing happens. You got 2 million people that are set free, and they're headed towards the promised land. And right from the get-go, they come across an obstacle, and it's called the Red Sea, right? And all of a sudden, the angry army of Pharaoh is coming, and there's the sea, and they're stuck in the middle. The Israelites start whining, oh, no, no, you let us out, right? That's kind of loose translation. Pray for my wife. Can you imagine communication out of this guy? You don't understand me? Anyways, God opens up the Red Sea, doesn't he? Come on, don't get used to that story. That's crazy. That's crazy. And God provided time and time again for these people. But remember, in our attitude adjustment series, we learned that these Israelites needed an attitude adjustment, not just once a month, but they needed it every day. And we learned about some things like they had a complaining spirit, even though God had provided complaining spirit. We talked about how we have a complaining spirit. We need to turn it into a thankful spirit. Does anyone need to be reminded of this? The next week we talked about, do you live, which tent do you live in? Do you live in discontent or content? You see, God has provided everything we need, maybe not everything we want, but he's provided everything we need, and yet we find ourselves in the discontent. Well, I want to tell you this. If you live in the United States of America, you have every reason to be content.
They say, well, Pastor, you don't know about the gas price. You don't know about the money. You don't
know. Yeah, I know all that stuff. But still, and I got some friends in here that have been born in other countries that would argue America is still the greatest place to be. Okay? So we have a choice. Attitude adjustment. We talked about a critical spirit as opposed to a loving spirit. And then Pastor John closed the series with doubt or faith. So we see these Israelites, and they're wrestling with all these bad attitudes, and God continues to bless them, and we see them walk in obedience and disobedience. And it's a cycle. It's cyclical, right? So then, then we get to Exodus chapter 17. And Moses is like, and by the way, I would be this way sooner. I'd be like this in Genesis before even Exodus. Like Moses is like, chapter 17, verse 4. What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. Now here's the reality. Meeting with the 150 pastors, I heard stories left and right from awful to wonderful. And I just want to tell you this. I praise God that I get to lead at West Valley Christian Church. And I don't say that lightly. Are there some murmurings? Is there some complaining once in a while? Absolutely. But as a whole, this church is absolutely amazing. And I, on behalf of myself and the staff, say thank you for allowing us to serve you. We don't do it perfectly. And by the way, you don't do it perfectly either, right? But we're doing this thing. We're doing this thing. And so I'm grateful. And Moses is just like, these people are driving me nuts. As a matter of fact, they're ready to kill me. You guys, I don't know of any death threats on my life, but there might be some of you that are ready to kill me. Okay. What am I saying? But Moses says this. Moses says this. And I just love it. Because he just continues to surrender himself to God. And he's like, oh. And then God's like, well, okay, Moses, enough about your whining. There's some stuff that goes on there about hitting a rock and water coming out and this and that. But he's like, there's a battle to be done. The Amalekites, you gotta go get them. And Moses is like, what are you talking about? These guys are so much bigger than us and they're so much more powerful. And then you read Exodus chapter 17. Let's turn there. Exodus 17, verse 9. Moses said to Joshua, let's stop right there. Moses said to who? Oh, what's this series? Joshua, be strong and courageous. According to my studies, this is the first time we're introduced to this guy. Says to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So out of all the people, out of the 2 million, he chooses this guy named Joshua, and he says, Joshua, you're going to be the military commander. You're going to take our nobodies against the somebodies. you're going to take the Chicago Cubs, and you're going to go play the Los Angeles Dodgers. Sorry. That's probably a bad example because they just swept us a few weeks ago. I would use the Giants, but they're in first place. My brain's going, why did we get elbow pearls? Anyways, so back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Good guy, by the way. Good, outstanding man and his wife in the community. So I have to throw that in there. So he picks Joshua. Israelites are the underdogs. But this is where we're going to start seeing the character of this man. This is where I want you to see something. Remember Moses, when he's asked to lead, what does he do? Oh, I can't do it. And he gives all the excuses. We don't see any excuses given by Joshua, although Joshua could have a bunch of different excuses. And we're starting to see an insight into this amazing man. Not a perfect man, but an amazing man who had an amazing trust and faith in God Almighty. And so we know this, and the Bible says that Moses goes up on a hill, and as Moses is up on the hill, and his hands are up, and he's praying for this battle, he sees what's going on. The Bible says, as Moses' hands are lifted up, who's winning? The Israelites. Who's winning? Who's winning? Who's winning? That's right. The underdog is winning. But let me tell you, we are never underdogs when God is in the equation. We are never underdogs when God is in the equation. And so Moses lifted. Now, Moses is a little old, and so Moses, every once in a while, he's getting a little tired, and his hands go to his side. And as hands go to the side, the Bible says, the Israelites are losing. You've read the book. So you got the Israelites are winning. Moses' hands are up. Israelites are losing when Moses' hands are down. And then a couple of buddies recognize this. Aaron and Hur, the Bible says, notice this, and so they lift Moses' arms up, one on one side and one on the other. Here's a side note. Here's a bonus to the message. Never do life alone. We need the Aaron and Hers in our life. I would not be standing here on this stage, still the lead pastor of West Valley Christian Church, if I didn't have Aaron and Hers in my life. They won the battle. Joshua was the commander of this. And Joshua and Moses' relationship would grow stronger and stronger, closer and closer, because Moses not only sees Joshua as a great military leader, he sees one that has filled with an incredible faith in God Almighty. Now you fast forward to Mount Sinai, God's gonna have a one-on-one conversation with Moses. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, just go rent the movie Mel Brooks, The History of the World, Part One. And now I present to you the 10 commandments. You'll have to see it to know what I just talked about. Again, telling my age. But God calls Moses up there, and he's allowed to bring somebody. Guess who Moses brings up there? Oh, you've read the book. Joshua. Of all the people, he brings Joshua up there. And so Joshua and Moses make their way up there. Moses is having this one-on-one time with God, and it's absolutely amazing. And there's so much to this, but again, I don't have time to preach on it. But there's a book I was reading that I want to read a quote to you from. It's written by Philip Keller. It's called Joshua, Mighty Warrior and Man of Faith. He says in the book, Moses was in constant close communion with God at this time. Joshua was utterly alone, waiting in silence for his master. It is a tribute to the unshakable faith he had in God that he did not break under the strain and retreat down from the slopes alone to rejoin his friends at the foot of the mount. It is a mark of Joshua's stirring character that despite his own desperate hunger and thirst, during the 40-day fast, he never deserted Moses to indulge in his own burning desires. Church, I'd never thought about that. Joshua had nothing but his own quiet confidence in God to sustain his strength, physical, emotional, and spiritual, during this crazy time. There's something amazing about this guy, Joshua, isn't there? Called to lead an army where he's never done this, and he's the underdog. And he trusts in God, and he's victorious. To be called to go up with Moses, as Moses is handed literally the law, and he comes down with the commandments, and he sits there for 40 days, not knowing anything that's going on, but hearing some commotion down at the bottom, and he stayed faithfully up there. While, by the way, his family, his people, his relatives got so freaked out that Moses and Joshua weren't around that they had a collection. Do you remember this? And they collected all the gold jewelry, and what they did is they melted it down and they formed it into an image, a calf, and they began to worship this false idol. Do you remember this? And why? Because the Israelites really struggled with trusting God and not trusting God. Just as Joshua's up there trusting God, those people had the same ability to trust God, but they were paralyzed or they were gripped by fear, and so they allowed fear to dictate how they were going to live out their life. And Joshua allowed faith to grip his life and allowed him to live in an amazing way. I put it this way, fear gripped his people, faith gripped his heart. Fear gripped his people. Faith gripped his heart. And I want to call time out real quick. Can we get real? What's gripping your heart today? What's gripping your heart? We all have the same choice. We all have the same struggle. Doesn't matter how young or old we are. The question is, what is gripping our heart today? Is fear gripping our heart? Well, then it's going to dictate how we live. It's going to dictate how we think and how we act. But if faith is gripping our heart, it too will dictate how we're going to think and how we're going to act. Can I hear an amen to that? And it's not picking on any one person here. It's just a real question. What is gripping your heart? What is gripping mine? And as we watch Joshua through these events, we start to notice a theme. This guy is madly in love with God, and he trusts God. Then we land in Numbers 13. Numbers 13, we see God asked Moses to do what? He asked Moses to pick a person from each of the 12 tribes. And these guys that are on the edge of the promised land that was promised to Abraham. And Moses was going to take them to this place. And here we are some 40 years later. And they're looking at right at the edge. And God says, pick one person. So there's 12 men that are to go spy on this land and come back with a report. You read Numbers chapter 13, verses 4 through 15, and you see a list of all the names. I'm not even going to try to pronounce all those things, so you get to read them yourself. And here's the secret to reading Old Testament names. Pretend like you know what they sound like, because nobody actually really does, right? Polytha, Rabbatu, and Zerubbabel, and Zodi, and Merzalash, and Abdin, right, okay. But then you get to verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 16. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. He just got rid of them. And then in parentheses says, Moses gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua.
You want a fun joke? You say, who in the Bible didn't have any parents? The answer is Joshua, because he was the son of Nun. Sorry.
Please don't let that reflect in your offering today. But you look at it, Hosea means salvation, right? Translates salvation. Do you know what Joshua translates out? Yahweh is salvation. See, God is in the equation there, isn't it? God is in the equation. You and I, when we take God out of the equation, that's when life really gets messy, amen? I love this. It's little, but it's significant. So they come back with a report. 10 say what? We can't do this. They're huge. We're outnumbered. We're like grasshoppers. And yet the reality is God had promised them this. Why are they not coming back going, they're like grasshoppers, we're outnumbered, but God said he's going to give it to us, and if God says he's going to give us something, he's going to give it to us. But again, you remember, their history is this. I'm going to say either remembered this for the first time or learned it again for the first time, right? You land wherever. Do you know if the Israelites went straight from being enslaved in Egypt to the promised land of Canaan, you know how many days it would take to travel there? About 14 days. They're 40 years into this. Are you with me? And what's the difference? Disobedience. They just couldn't trust God. Another bonus. How many of us, instead of going straight, are going cyclical? When God says, it's right there, head that way, and we start heading. I know that doesn't touch anyone's life here, right? One, you look at it, it's about 2 million people. It's only Joshua and Caleb that came back and said, yeah, it's scary, it's big, but we got this. There's Joshua trusting in God again, isn't he? Guess who gets to go in the promised land out of the 2 million? Joshua, Caleb, and their family. Not even Moses. Did you hear this? Not even Moses gets to step foot in the promised land. Moses gets the report, and he listens to the popular vote of distrust. And that affects his decision. And it affects his destination. My friends, the church is no longer the home team. Christians are no longer the home team in the United States of America. If you and I listen to the popular vote, the popular theology, the popular trends, whatever you want to fill in that blank with, I'm going to say that we're going the opposite of what God wants us to do. We're trending in the wrong direction. That doesn't mean we don't have hope. It just means we have to listen and lean into the one that says if he's going to do it, he will do it. And all God's people said? Amen. You fast forward again. And Moses is now on top of a mountain near the end of his life. God allows him to look over the promised land. God allows him to see it. Even though he doesn't get to enter it, he gets to see it. And then you turn to one of the saddest verses. Deuteronomy 34, verses 4 and 5, it says, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died right there. And you look at verses 8 and 9 in Deuteronomy 34. The Israelites grieved for Moses. The ones that complained about him all the time and wanted him, yeah, they grieved. And this happened for about 30 days, and the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses has laid his hand on him. And the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Disobedience prevented Moses from even entering. We're all vulnerable, aren't we, church? And life can be hard, and life can be scary, but we can learn so much from Joshua. Now that's the background. And now with the few moments that I have left, I want to scratch the surface a little bit about specifically Joshua. If you're taking notes, number one was background, number two is leadership. We see the transition of leadership. They've turned from following Moses to turning to following who? Joshua. Why? Why would God pick Joshua? Well, could it have something to do with everything we've talked about as we've looked at his life? choosing to be a military leader when he didn't want to, when he was the underdog, choosing to go up the mountain and being faithful to Moses up there, going and spying the land and going against the popular vote. I mean, he was ready because he knew it wasn't about him, it was about God. And God is asking Joshua to lead this new generation of the promised land. And listen up, church. If you and I call ourselves Christ followers, not everyone has made that decision here, but if you've chosen to be a Christian, you've signed up for leadership. I love leadership. I study leadership. I preach leadership. I'm all about leadership and vision. I ooze it. And so I don't say that lightly. I know there's a debate. Are leaders made or are they born, you know? Well, I'm not even going to get into that debate. I just know this. If we've said yes to Jesus, we've said yes to leadership. And leadership is not a title. Leadership is influence. There's a lot of people in this world that have titles and no one's following them. And there's a lot of people that don't have titles and you look behind them and there's a whole host of people following them. There's your leader. And right now, we are born for such a time as this. And it's time for us, the Christian, to own our leadership, rise up, and lead in this crazy time. And we can't take people across the Jordan into the promised land, but God can with us. Amen? That's why the words to our friend Joshua are so important. Which leads me to our last and final point. Be strong and courageous. This is how leadership, they kind of go together. Joshua chapter 1. Verses 1 through 7. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, Joshua, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River, which was no easy task, into the land I'm about to give to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river and the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Be strong and be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them. And he says this again, be strong and be what? Very courageous. What does he say to them? Be strong and what? Very courageous. What does he say to them? Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses has given you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. He is calling Moses, or he's calling Joshua, to take over for Moses in leadership, and he's calling them to be strong and courageous. My friends, this is the message for us today. No matter what is going on in your life, whatever it's marriage struggles or being single or parenting issues or financial struggles, whatever it is, the words that God would have for you today is be strong and courageous, because as Christ followers, no matter how bad the Jordan looks, he will help us get to the other side into the promised land. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Do you? I'm going to brag on my son for a second. He's playing baseball over at West Hills, and yesterday we had a great game. It was a close game. He gets on base. He's still second. There's a man on second and third. There's a ball hit to right field. It's a routine high fly. Easton goes back. He's tagging up. The ball hits the kid's glove, and it falls out. Easton, the guy from third, scores. Easton's running to third, and Easton's always taught by his dad, you just keep going unless the coach puts on the brakes. So Easton's going. Coach is rounding him to go home. The throw arrives way before Easton. He is dead to right. At the last moment, Easton decides to launch head first into home plate. Literally, he's running. The catcher's ready. He just goes head first, throws it all out on the line, goes across the dirt, reaches for the outside of the plate, the furthest part where the catcher's going to tag him, and the umpire's safe. The place went crazy. At first, I didn't even realize it was my own son that just did this, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome, and he gets up. He's just packed with dirt. The team's all over him. Why do I share that? Because we need to have that same spirit. in 2021 as Christ followers. As we round third base and we head towards home and we see the enemy has got the ball in his hand and he's ready to tag us out, so many of his teammates would have just stood there and froze and been tagged out or turned back and go the other way. And he just left the ground and threw everything out there. And that's what I believe God is calling his church to today. Leave it. Leave the ground. Go head first to home plate. I'm going to promise you this. You're safe because the Bible says you're going to be safe. You're victorious. And yet too many of us are missing out on the promised land because we're stuck in fear. Am I passionate about that? You better believe it. You got this, my friends. You've got this. Whatever your Jordan is, whatever is paralyzing you, whatever is gripping you in fear, you've got this. Doubt fed fear and led the Israelites to disobedience and missing out on the promised land. That's in the book, isn't it, church? Be strong and courageous. It goes on to say that in Joshua chapter 1. Verses 7 through 9, be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. Verse 8, keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. How do we be strong and courageous? There's the answers right there in Joshua 1, 7 and 9. Be strong and courageous. Keep his truth on your lips. Keep his truth in your heart and your life. Meditate on it. And the promise is I'm always with you, isn't it? I got my sister Priscilla right here. I'm going to call you out. This amazing woman has battled cancer, I don't know how many times, over and over again. She's the first to give me a hug on Sunday. She's the first one to shout out amen during all this stuff. Sister, your encouragement of this. As we watch you be strong and courageous, you bring encouragement to me. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In Philippians. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Remember that picture of Honolulu Bay? It was beautiful. But if my wife and I packed up and turned around, we would have just said, it's got beautiful rocks, beautiful ocean, beautiful scenery. But I throw on my fins, my mask, and a snorkel. I got to see what that bay is all about that you can't see just standing on the rocks. I saw a coral that was yellow, pink, orange, blue. Sounds like Lucky Charms, doesn't it? I saw fish that were like this big and fish that were this small as my belly was just hovering over some coral, and I got to watch all those little fish. I spent probably an hour and a half in there. A turtle. Hung out with a turtle for a long time, just swimming around with it. And probably the thing that got me the most was a pool of fish. And when I see pools of fish, they're like maybe that big. These fish were all about this big. And if I said there was 1,000 of them, I'd probably be under-exaggerating. Just a wall of them. But what's cool is I got, you know, within 10 feet of them, they all just together. It was weird. And then I go that way, and they go. And it was a little eerie to be surrounded by all this. Friends, God has so much more in store for you than what you could see. He wants us to dive in. He wants us to dive in. Be strong and courageous. Father in heaven, thank you. Help us, because sometimes it's easier said than done. But with Joshua, he modeled what it was like to press into you. Help us to do the same. In Jesus' name. All God's people say.
Remember, Lord, your tender mercies.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at wvcch.org, or you can join us live in one of our Sunday services. Have a great day. And your love that you've always shown me. You forget all my rebellion.